Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 595. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Jeremy Mays. What is up, good sir?
What's going on, man? Hopefully we didn't blow all our good stuff. Talking about Harry Potter, and I already forgot what else we talked about.
Heart attacks and dumb ex-wives. Because that was one that I did keep the ex-wife stuff off the show last week. Because I figured until all legal proceedings are done, it's best left alone.
Yeah, I don't even know if that should be mentioned either. So, all right, so we're talking about Facebook etiquette.
Do not Facebook message anyone at 4:30 in the morning. Unless there's a death. If there's a death, I will let it slide. Other than that, does not compute.
If it's that important, you have my phone number. You can call me. Like, that's important stuff.
Yeah, this is true.
I don't know. I guess lifestyle's changed. And in the last 10 years, yeah, I'm not up till 4 o'clock in the morning all the time anymore. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Whatever. But, okay, but one thing we did talk about off air, we haven't gotten a chance to figure out if it's true or not. That was a Tegan Knox thing.
Oh, yes. I have not seen any news come across my desk that Tegan Knox has another ACL injury, but... I mean, I guess the crazy thing is I don't feel like she's the first athlete to have this happen. If it is true. Yeah, like, there are a couple of people that have had four, I think. Twice in both knees. And I'm just
wasn't it Frank Gore? Didn't he have a ton of injuries and then he's just healthy as can be now?
Yes.
The football player, Frank Gore.
Yeah.
Just make sure.
Yeah, because he's still like, he's like the sixth leading rusher of all time or something crazy like that now.
Which is insane. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think he just passed Curtis Martin recently.
I didn't realize Curtis Martin was that high on the list.
Well, he was another guy that, well, he did have some spectacular seasons, but... because he played for the Jets pretty much his whole career, everyone forgot about him. But he was also there for like 15 years or something crazy like that. So, yeah, it was more just... He was more like he just stayed healthy and racked up a bunch of yards.
Oh, okay.
But never played for a good team.
Isn't like the top three or what? Emmitt Smith... Jim Brown, Barry Sanders, or something like that?
I would think so. It's so funny that I don't even... That total is so out there that I don't even think about it anymore.
Well, just the fact that Jim Brown did it in so many less years.
Oh. Yeah.
Which, I mean, of course, but, you know...
Yeah, my dad will always attest to the fact that he was, like, the best running back he's ever seen.
Yeah, and he just stopped. Like, nowadays people do that, and like, you're insane. I guess because the money's different, but Jim Brown's like, I'm done, man. I'm done running these fools over. No, it's a 10 best.
Oh, yeah, Peyton's got to be in the 2 or 3, I would imagine. I mean, don't you have a list right there? Like, I'm not looking it up right now.
I'm trying to look it up. And it keeps giving me, the top 10 running backs of all time. I want career rushing totals, idiots.
Oh, yeah, what kind of bullshit is that? I guess it's more fun to be subjective than just give stats.
Yes, because everyone knows it's Barry Sanders, but...
Well, this is true. I would agree even without the hometown bias. That is definitely the best running back I have seen.
Wow. It's actually Emmitt Smith, Walter Payton, Frank Gore.
Oh,
Barry Sanders.
He's number 3?
Number 3? Holy shit.
Wow.
Congratulations, sir.
Man, I had no idea
Jim
he was that high.
Jim Ross not in the top 10 anymore. Yeah, Emmett, Walter Payton, Frank Gore, Barry Sanders, Adrian Peterson.
Oh.
Curtis Martin, LaDainian Tomlinson.
Oh, okay.
My confusing thing, who was the guy that used to, he was like the hybrid? Was that Tomlinson that could catch and run?
Yeah. Yeah, he played for the Chargers for all those, or most of those years.
So they have that many yards of rushing, and then so like be that predominant in the passing game too. That's crazy. It's a talent right there. Jerome Bettis, Eric Dickerson, Tony Dorsett.
Oh,
wow!
Wow, Dorsett's been bumped down to 10, huh?
Yeah. And Jim Brown's behind him.
Wow.
Apparently, Jim Brown never. Yeah.
But your theory still holds, though. Yeah. Like the fact that he accomplished it in a much more limited time frame than pretty much everyone else on that list. Because I mean, Bettis was the same thing. Like Bettis was around for like 15 years or something crazy like that. I mean, yeah. I know the first three were in St. Louis, or I think it's two or three. And then the rest were with Pittsburgh. But, you know, a lot of those guys just, they got lucky and had long careers. And, whew, man, just the fact that any, well, yeah, I guess you'd have to consider Gore a modern running back. But, I mean, man, I'm just trying to think of anyone else.
Are you?
Huh?
When you've been around that long, are you a modern running back? Or are you just... the last of
the last
that era.
Yeah, like I guess because I'm trying to think of like who would be able to even come close to breaking that record right now, or someone that I'd go like, oh, they might have a chance. Like maybe Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, dude, he ain't last another 2 years. He's already hurt this year.
Yeah, I know.
So he's not big enough to sustain that, and then he just. They last year they ran I think 90% of the plays through him.
Oh,
there's nobody is lasting that long in the NFL. No one. Well, I'm sorry, as a running back,
yeah.
No one is lasting that long. So, yeah, they it didn't make any sense when a team that's in a total reboot mode decided to shell out that much money for him. Like, why?
They wanted to keep one star on the team.
Well, they got yeah, that's it. So, I mean, listen.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar. You obviously would know more about them than I would. I'm a blank slate if it's not the AFC North.
Well, they got Ted Bridgewater, and he's doing a good job. Which is a non-shocker.
Oh,
that guy, him and Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor, no matter where he goes, they're always trying to replace him. To the point where, like, the San Diego doctor punctured his lung, giving him a shot for his cracked ribs. That's some shit. Like,
yeah, I didn't even read the story. I'm like, well, the headline kind of gives it away. Like, I don't really need to read any more than this.
Yeah. And then, I already forgot who the other guy was. Oh, Teddy Bridgewater, doing a very good job in Minnesota, but only a year or two into the league, right?
He has
a horrific injury. He's out for 2 years almost.
Yeah.
And they go, now we're going to have that guy take your place. I knew his name, but it's even better for that guy. And then they shove him. Yeah. He goes away, goes to New Orleans, goes under Drew Brees. Now he's got a contract here for 3 years. So
yeah, I think he might have needed that stop. Like, he didn't do great in Minnesota. He did okay. It's not as good. Tyrod Taylor's been one of those guys that I guess I hadn't paid attention. Had kind of been definitely underrated good. You know, maybe he's not going to turn into, Aaron Rodgers or anything. But sometimes all you need is a competent quarterback to go with all the, you know, either a good defense or... you know, just star running back / wide receivers.
Yeah. Okay, so if I put it to you, what quarterback would you rather have? Case Keenum or Teddy Bridgewater?
Oh, well, that isn't even a choice. It's Teddy Bridgewater.
Minnesota Vikings chose Case Keenum over him. And then brought in, who's Oklahoma? Sam Bradford. They brought him in.
Oh, my God. Like, I forgot that they went through that many people before they got to Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
Good God.
Yeah. I mean, the guy gets hurt early into his career. They're like, nah, we're done with you. What kind of dumb shit management is that? But...
Yeah, I thought that he did probably deserve more of a chance than he got there.
Yes. He is a NFL quarterback. He was 5-0 with the Saints. And these losses aren't on him for Carolina. So, you know, it's not a bad pickup. Less money than Cam Newton was going to get. And they were going to move on from him anyways. So...
Oh.
So that's why Tegan Knox hopefully isn't really injured. And this is all a ploy.
Yeah. I mean, that would be an interesting angle to go with, honestly. I'm obviously fine with, kind of exacerbating an injury that's already happened, but. Even for the WWE to kind of kayfabe an ACL, it's just like, well, that's kind of a weird thing to kayfabe since you're supposed to be out for, like, 6 months.
Well, in her case, who knows, it could be longer. I don't know if the second time's even worse. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's also weird that NXT does this anyways with the injury report. When they... like, openly embrace who they are, and then to do a fake injury report is weird. And then, because I don't remember if there's a WWE, like, Raw or SmackDown does one, but, like, Ivar from the Viking Raiders, he just had surgery, so he's on the road back.
Oh.
It looks like some with his spine. I don't know if it, I couldn't
yeah,
tell.
Yeah, it was a neck issue. I can't remember exactly what he had done, but, because that was from the missed suicide dive.
God damn, that sucks.
Yeah.
And maybe not everyone should do one. Like John Moxley, he shouldn't do one anymore either. So, did you see that horrible one he did, that suicide dive, that didn't even catch Eddie Kingston?
Oh, okay. You kind of needed to jog my memory on that one.
Dude.
But yeah, he kind of, like, did he come out half sideways?
I think he misjudged how far he was and came up short. Like, he landed and then pushed him.
Yeah.
So when I saw Ivar get hurt way back, I'm like, maybe it's just a stinger. But unless he's already had, like, some damage done, it was like, I was going to get repaired. So, because... anything to make people forget we're the Viking Raiders, it would be fine. I know they can't do War Machine.
And oh, right.
War Raiders, but it's that weird train of thought where, like, all right, so one guy's in the Vikings and they look like this, so they're going to be Vikings now. Like, everyone knows the only Viking we ever had that was worth a shit was John Nord, otherwise known as the Berserker. You don't need another Viking team. So.
Yeah, it's one of those a little too literal gimmicks. Like, I know that they tell you to be yourself, but I don't. It just didn't ever seem to incorporate well into their on screen personas at all.
No.
Like, even if it's part of them in real life.
I mean, you took these badasses, gave them this goofy thing where you kind of forget. Like, they were badasses.
And it
went down to when they started with the Street Kings. The Street Kings? Like, video game. The Street Profits. That he was eating, like, they were doing the weird videos and stuff, which was, okay, gives it a little bit of a lighter side, but then he was always the cute one, but Eric was ugly. He's always finding turkey legs, and it's like, man.
I enjoyed those, but I don't even think that they ever really properly got over how badass they were.
No.
On the main roster, like, they kind of had them go through some people when they first brought them up, and then they, like, dropped off TV for a month or something. And they...
Wasn't that the, like, the kind of rehab from the Viking experience and wanted to change it so people would forget? That's what I always thought.
Well, yeah, it kind of killed their momentum, though, just in general, because they didn't... Even though they won the titles after they came back, like, they were never quite the ass-kicking Viking Raiders that they were prior to that, or, you know, they were more badass, I guess, as the Viking experience, which is terrible to say, than as the Viking Raiders ever. I think is maybe the way I should word it.
Yeah. I don't know.
But I do enjoy the Raw Underground stuff, but Eric keeps on getting his ass kicked.
Yes. Okay. Since you brought it up, why are you enjoying Raw Underground?
It's a nice...
the dumbest part of their show. Until this week, of course.
I like the MMA feel of it, I suppose. It feels different than just their product in general. So it feels like an actual... Like, there's so many old ideas that they keep on recycling through the WWE. Like, this kind of feels like a new idea. I have been glad, especially with this stuff this week, like, that they've started to make it more storytelling as far as who the matchups are. I feel like, especially with the Braun Strowman... Dabakato stuff, but I do feel like they kind of, especially this week's, like, I really like the way they structured it, where they kind of had, like, kind of like the UFC does, where it's just, like, they have kind of one matchup that, you know, they kind of built up to the main event this week. And right. They do need to incorporate more of that stuff, because it's still this weird and I guess that's my biggest beef with Raw Underground, is it's still this weird place that you don't know completely what the incentive is for the wrestler to go there, other than wanton destruction. But that doesn't, you know, like, that seems like enough for some people, but there are other people that have been in there that it doesn't completely make sense.
Okay. Here's my problem with the Raw Underground stuff. It has everything to do with WWE in general. In the Raw Underground thing, you're allowed to kick, you're allowed to punch, you're allowed to guys, you get on top, blah, 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 right?
Yep.
And then they call it off. Submission, fight's over, right? Why don't they just do that in the matches? It's literally the exact same thing. You're allowed to kick people. You're allowed to punch them. You're allowed to knee them. You're allowed to get them on the ground and knock them out. The Big Show's fucking finisher is the big punch, for Christ's sake. You can do the exact same thing in a wrestling ring. The rules are no different. You just don't have ropes. So, you know, you can't do bouncy stuff. But... Kevin Owens and Aleister Black were what, last week, right?
Yeah,
their first
yeah.
matchup was in Raw Underground. Like, what? You can do the exact same thing in a regular match.
Yeah, but the Raw Underground does, again, I'm just gonna go back to it gives it in a feud extender to me, like. If I just saw them wrestle three matches or something, I would 100% be bored by the third one. More than likely. So, like, and without having to do a gimmicks match, like a table match is probably a terrible one to bring up, but for some reason that's on my brain, so... because, you know, they're not ever going to work up to a TLC match or anything that kind of a setup, I wouldn't imagine. I guess that's why that one doesn't bother me, and it does seem pretty obvious that they're continuing that feud. I'm trying to remember what happened on Monday now, and it's kind of fuzzy. And I did not pull up the report.
The first part, like, I agree with you. It's like, you know what? We need to go somewhere where there's next to no rules. Which, whatever. At least that kind of makes sense. Because you can have a no disqualification match.
Well.
But this is the first fucking match. And then this week, Aleister Black comes out and just keeps banging Kevin Owens' nuts into the ring post. And I'm like, didn't you guys already do all this? Like, what? It needs, to me, it needs a purpose. And right now, like, why the hell is Dolph Ziggler a badass in the underground thing and it can't win for shit and during an actual match? Because Dolph's like a spider monkey, man. He's jumping over and choking people up wherever else. And if Riddick Moss comes in, which, who cares about Riddick Moss in the text of this stuff? He looks like a beast.
Right.
And then he's one of the goons running around for the 7 title. Like, What? And even like the Dabba Kato stuff with Braun Strowman, a little goofy, but it's like, okay, you know, I don't know if it would have been like, you know, Braun's like, no, I get paid to fight or something. They got away from that with everybody. And then after a while, like, no, I'll take you out in here and then have him beat the shit out of him there too. You know, I don't know. It's weird to me. But it was like that. That's the worst. Well, was the worst part of Raw for me. But it's like that's not saying much, to be honest, because Raw is nearly unwatchable.
So, yeah, I forgot to do the usual and pull up a report to kind of have some idea.
Oh, who cares? You know, there's only one thing to talk about, and it's that idiotic retribution thing, dude. All right, imagine you go, like, I don't know if you're still on site or not. Imagine you go on site and be like, hey, Kevin, measure the bathroom. I'm just going to just go with it.
Yeah.
Okay, and you go and you measure the kitchen cabinets and then the closet door height and whatever else. It's just pure chaos. You do whatever you want. And the boss is like, no, I'm sorry. You went to somebody else's job site and did that. And then just messed everything up. And they're like, you know, if you're going to keep doing this, we're just going to hire you for it. But you can still keep doing the same thing. It makes no sense. Regardless of that. And their message, by the way. Regardless of that. Let's get down to the real story here.
Yeah. This... I feel bad for everyone in Retribution, like, already. Like, I felt bad for them before that they had picked anyone out. Now that they have committed to at least five, it was 5 people, right? 3 men and 2 women on Raw.
Medium, Sadie Martinez, Shane Thorne. Dio Madden and Dr. Djokovic. So yeah, five.
Yeah. So like, I felt bad for them immediately. Like, it was one of those things that because of my watching habits now, I never get to the back end of Raw Monday night, and some of my timeline fills up with jokes about what has gone on in Raw. And, because they didn't name the people early in the show, but they did pull up their names at the main event. And I just, wow, man. Like, I felt...
There's Slapjack?
Yeah, Shane Thorne is Slapjack. Dio Madden is Mace, and Dijakovic is T-Bar.
Oh, so please look up now what rumored names for Mercedes and Mia Yim.
Now, it was just evidently there is just one rumored name, so they're not sure who it is between. So it was meant for Martinez or Yim, not specifically one. But it was Shatter is one of their names, supposedly. Are you still there?
Yes. I'm sorry. Dude. Do you remember, was it High Voltage in WCW?
Yes.
What were their names?
They both had to do with voltage. I'm trying to remember what they, because it wasn't like amps and watts or anything like that.
Robbie Rage and Kenny Chaos. And I thought those were stupid names back then, right? I would love if Robbie Rage was Dio Madden. Mercedes Martinez was Kenny Chaos. That'd be fine. This whole thing makes no sense whatsoever. And if you try to apologize for it, not just you, but anybody tries to apologize for it, you're a fucking idiot. There is no way of getting around this.
Oh, no.
I've seen people trying to defend it.
Oh my God. Like,
I hope this is sarcasm. Maybe I'm reading things wrong, but I hope it's sarcasm. Like, we could get away with it in the 80s with Axe and Smash and Crush, alright? I kind of get that. Because it's the 80s. Of course. But, like, King Haku, Haku, the Islanders, whatever.
Yeah, well, that was more... I was going to say, that was more, if you want to go with it, racist. Than bad monikering.
Remember, they were the Samoan SWAT team, which was a much cooler name.
Oh, well, yes.
So I think I got the same teams.
But. Yeah, I mean, I guess they always kind of kiddified things in the WWE to make them more palatable. So I guess I just kind of let it slide in that department.
Speaking of this. Real quick, as an aside, like we had Road War Animal, Road War Hawk, we had the Powers of Pain, you know, Barbarian and Warlord, and they kind of looked it, but they were showing, because unfortunately, Road War Animal, Joe Laurinaitis, right, it was Joe? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, yeah, his kid was John Laurinaitis, right? Or I got that backwards. Oh no, that's terrible.
Yeah, I can't remember, honestly. No, John is the brother that's in the WWE still.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry. So it is Joe.
Yeah.
Anyways, they were showing I was watching videos of them. I didn't forget about it, but I did not realize how prevalent that stupid-ass puppet was. That Rocco puppet.
Rocco?
Okay, I'm sorry. I wish I wouldn't have mentioned it then. If you didn't know, then don't look it up. It just... It's
part of the Road Warriors gimmick?
Yes. They had a Rocco, like a ventriloquist dummy that Paul Ellering would carry with him.
Ooh, I do not remember that at all.
Okay, please look it up. It's brutal. But like all of that stuff made sense. I guess because it was born in the 70s, 80s, into the 90s. So, like, no gimmick team like that works anymore. So calling someone Mace, T-Bar, Slapnut, Slapjack, whatever, and one Shattered, it doesn't make sense. In the context, it doesn't make any sense that these are clearly people we saw in NXT.
Oh.
Like, the only one that had any sort of mystery behind him was Shane Thorne. It was kind of like, who the hell is that guy? But also expect, you know, Keith Lee's girlfriend and Keith Lee's best friend. You know how we know this? Because in NXT, they beat it up, beat us over the head with it. Well, that's a little strong. I mean, sorry, I ran. But we clearly know that because they were always involved with each other. Keith Lee's doing his thing. And all of a sudden, his girlfriend and his best friend show up as part of Retribution, going by the name of, I'm sorry, what was he again? Was he T-Bar?
Yeah, he's T-Bar.
Dijakovic?
Yeah.
Okay, so T-Bar and Shatter, which is a bad name, but I expect it to be way worse. Yeah, it's just like, I don't
it
know.
could be worse.
Not being mentioned? Like, I know this is so cliche now, or just old. NXT, no matter what you think of that show, is so much better than either one of the main shows. If something
Oh.
doesn't make sense, they will at least try to make it make sense at some point. And they won't insult the viewers by going, okay, Finn Balor's going to show back up, or Finn's getting called up to the main roster, but now he's going to be Finn the Fish Man. And he's just throwing out fish to everybody. Like, it would never happen. It's fucking dumb. And it's embarrassing enough to watch, like, tell people you watch wrestling. And you know what the biggest story in wrestling right now is? Retribution. Not for any of the good reasons,
Oh.
but they are the biggest story in wrestling right now.
It's just one of those ones where, like, yeah, I know that people always throw out the genius for Vince, and it's just like, man, how many times has that guy just gotten it completely and utterly wrong? And I'm gonna say more times than he got it right. But man,
Oh, for sure.
this is just one that I guess I feel bad for the writers at this point. Like, I'm like, there's no way anyone with a sane mind is going, oh yeah, this is really gonna get these guys over. And like everyone that's doing this gimmick has to be just going, oh my god, like this is my like the only thing that I can think of to kind of compare it to is when they completely fucked up the New Day to start with.
Yeah.
And I don't even think that that's an accurate comparison because you could see the potential in New Day, but this I just like I'm having a hard time seeing the potential for any of these people coming out of this, like because you're getting a crazy name. The gimmick doesn't make any sense. Like even the announcers the whole night they're going, well, why were they signed to contracts if they're allowed to do whatever the fuck they want to? And I'm like, yeah, like I'm sorry. Like at this point, we also not that we know contract law, but we know that no one's gonna go, oh yeah, just do whatever the fuck you want to within the confines of our sport. You know, like Dana White isn't gonna put up with someone bringing a chair into the ring and blasting a guy over the head. You know,
Yeah,
like
no, you're right.
as much as he's gonna tolerate dumb shit, like that's something that it's just like, oh no, that's over the line. Like, I'm sorry, I've got to call it there, guys. And you know, like, yeah, there's no reason for the WWE to sign this contract with these people that are just gonna continually beat up their entire roster.
Especially when it's like the five are out there, and then all of a sudden all the other ones show up.
Oh.
And you're like, okay. And no, I hate it. It's almost impossible to watch that show. I'm not even talking about content wise. I'm talking about actually using my eyes to watch the show because it's brutal and it's getting worse. Like, I don't know where this mandate came from to where almost every second. What match was it? There was a match this week where almost every second there was a cut.
Oh.
You saw a guy put his hand back, cut was the next angle, cut to here, cut to here, cut to here. And I just went, nope, and shut it off. I came back a little bit later and was doing it again. Nope, shut it off for the night. And not that Monday was a fun night anyways, but, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm an adult. Like, I have other options, and I think I played video games or something, or we did something else. But I'm, like, imagine, all right, so imagine, like, I'm watching the NFL game that's on right now, or I have it on, I should say. Imagine yeah. they hike the ball, it goes to a shot behind Gardner Minshew, goes back to the standard angle, goes back to him getting, like, cocking his arm back to throw the ball, cocks it over here. You would have no idea what's going on in the game. Because as soon as the guy either caught it, go to the ground, they cut over the coach doing something, they cut to the booth for a play, they come over here, come over here, come over here, and the next play's going, which is doing the same thing all over again. I don't understand what happened. It used to be, here's this side of the ring, here's this side of the ring, all the stuff's going on. Now, if someone like goes in for a kick, you gotta go to a different angle. Why? It was perfectly fine before. It was watchable.
Yeah, like, I don't know, and that's maybe a bad thing, because, like, the UFC is the only thing I can think of that might cut that much. But they also...
I've watched the fight in years.
Huh?
I haven't watched that UFC fight in years.
Oh, so. Well, I'm just thinking from a camera cuts, and it's never been as bad as the WWE is currently. Like, I don't know how I'm kind of, like, you pointed it out, and I guess I just kind of tolerate it at this point. I don't know why I should, like, because it is just... Ever since I counted the 30-something with the one promo, the 30 cuts, just like, oh my god, man, like, why are you doing this? Like, but it's, I guess maybe the only thing I can equate is the whole, it was, I think it's the South Africa World Cup, where they started using the vuvuzelas the whole time. And at some point, like, I'm like, so oh my god, this is fucking annoying. Like, I fucking want to kill every one of those people. And then at some point, I just tapped out. And, like, I couldn't hear them anymore. Like, I know that they were going, but, like, I just completely tuned them out. And I think I've gotten to the point, maybe, where I've tuned out all the camera cuts that you... Ugh. Pointed out to me that just
see I agree with you on the sound part, because anything, I mean, you can fall asleep like listening to Slayer if you wanted to, because your brain will just be like, okay, here's a pattern, here's the rhythm, here's this, and eventually just tunes it out.
Yeah,
but in the case of the vuvuzelas, they actually turn the crowd noise down because of them, so that might have been part of it.
Oh,
but
yeah,
with your eyes, if you're looking at something and stuff's constantly changing all the time, I mean, That was it. Auditory response, or was that sound? Either way, ocular resonation, something like that. Your brain's constantly firing. Like, unless like a constant, like, I can't imagine. And I'm being dead serious right now. I can't imagine if you had epilepsy, you're watching that show. Because the way it keeps constantly changing, it could be like a strobe effect if you're watching in the dark. Let alone when they have the
and Naomi on.
Yeah, well, she just had surgery, right? That's why she just disappeared.
Oh no, I didn't see that headline.
Yeah, she posted. I can't find it now, but I forgot what it was. But it sounded pretty serious. So that explains why she's been gone. Like, she had that whole thing with her and Lacey Evans, and boom, gone. Which sucks. That poor woman can't catch a break. So.
No, she cannot.
No. And that's the sad part is, especially with the retribution thing, we know Dominik Dijakovic can go. Shane Thorne's always been kind of okay, whatever. Never seen Dio Madden before, honestly.
Oh, and right.
We know what especially Mercedes Martinez and Mia Yim. you know what they can do? They're stuck in this bullshit.
Oh. Yeah.
God damn, man. That's...
Yeah, that's...
Let's talk about NXT and AEW, because it has been nothing but negative so far. I want to talk about some good stuff.
Yeah, that...
I mean that seriously.
Well, and it's almost to the point where, like, I want to go with the old mother saying, which is, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. Because they're there is nothing good to say. Like you said, like, four out of the five three out of the five, the core five, we know are good wrestlers. Like, so you know that they're handicapping them. And Shane Thorne, like, I guess I don't think he's great, but I also think that he's one of those guys that he can find a spot on the roster and keep on going for more years than you expect.
I just thought of this. Wasn't Shane Thorne and some other tall Australian guy a tag team?
Oh, yeah, that
for a few weeks?
That guy, he was one of the Me Too guys.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it's hard to keep up with all that stuff. So, okay, well, there's the end of that. So,
yeah.
So we've already seen Shane Thorne in fucking WWE. So, NXT, I really enjoyed this week. I actually did a binge. I missed last week's shows.
Oh, okay.
So I watched AEW, most of AEW last week and all of this week, and then all of NXT from last week, thinking it was this week's, and then all of this week's. So... I enjoy the shit out of those shows. AEW's got its problems. There's no way to look over that. I'm not saying NXT's perfect. NXT is a far more cohesive show than AEW is. But I still watch and enjoy them, though.
Yeah, I do think that AEW is finally starting to get things together. And I think things are headed in the right direction. I think now that their tag team division isn't... a complete mess because they decided to put the titles on Adam Page and Kenny Omega for reasons. Because even that story isn't really paying off at this point. And that was kind of another reason why it's kind of cool with moving this show to a Thursday night record, just because the Wednesday night shows typically have been just more coherent, just as a general whole. Like, the AEW stuff, I don't know if it's not a coherent problem. It's it's mostly a quality problem.
That's true. That was pretty evident last night. I will say this. I think that humidity is really doing those wrestlers a disservice. Because even for this Jacksonville game, it's in Jacksonville, they said it's 78% humidity out. That's awful. I mean, no, it gets like 90% humidity down here, and it is ridiculous, stifling.
Yeah.
So 78 can't be much better, you know?
Well, and you had mentioned to me how bad the opening match was with spots. But then you later said something. You're like, oh, it might be the humidity. And, like, I started paying attention to all of the wrestlers, and you could see how slick they were. Like, it didn't even matter if they were having a long match or not. Like, you're like, oh, my God, they just look like they're sweating like a pig already. Like, they weren't blown up, but they were sweaty as all hell, like, 2 minutes into a match.
Yeah, so I kind of backed off on it, like, oh, wait a second, this is like, I didn't get a chance to see All Out, but I heard that was a big problem, that the humidity was just ridiculous, it really caused the fatigue, and it also, you know, did have a sweat problem, but no, like, there were just so many, they do so much contrived crap that if they didn't do that, it would be just ridiculously better. And there's still too much of guys waiting around for someone to jump on them. Jumping around for no reason. And I know it sounds like old, but Like, Miro's offense was awesome. All he did was just plant people. Okay. What was the one spot he backdropped Kip Sabian? Was he supposed to land on Joey Janela?
Yes. Okay, I believe so.
Somebody messed up because Sabian just went down on his head. That looked awful. And then Miro, I guess, twisted his ankle or something, or tweaked his ankle.
Oh.
Which would explain some of the other stuff. And it's like, all right, if that's the case, guys, you just go. Like, you got to be in there with people who are just wrestling. You know, like, Janela and Kiss are not seasoned wrestlers. Hell, Kip Sabian isn't. But I would expect Miro to be like, all right, you gotta go to the ground.
Oh. Something. Yeah, like, he did not help make that match better at all.
No.
Like, I'm not going to say that he was the problem necessarily, but I was almost more disappointed in and of the fact that I'm like, oh, you're really going to do the same exact thing, huh?
Yeah. I really wish they would have just, and that's how I thought the match was going to go. Miro tagged in, and Kip Sabian tagged himself back in. I was like, oh, they're going to save him for the end, and he's going to just destroy him. And instead, it was a regular match, which is, I've said this before, but it's always been a point of contention with AEW matches. Oh. And this happened a bunch on this show. Guys who clearly aren't going to win, constantly going 50-50 the whole match. And it's like, no, you have to have an established pecking order. And in this one, it really should have been Kip Sabian and Sonny Kiss and Joey Janela. They're all being average, okay, whatever. And then finally at the end, Miro attacks himself and he goes, no, I'm above average, and destroys him. And then that's the end of the match. Instead of having, like, him selling for Sonny Kiss, I was like, are you joking? Because Miro came out looking ridiculously jacked.
Yeah.
And it was like, he's going to murder these guys. And instead he's selling. I'm like, no!
I kind of understood that they've been pushing Kiss and Janela a little bit as a tag team, but they haven't pushed them enough to justify that level of offense. And that was kind of my main problem. Like you said, like Miro just should have come in and wiped them out after Kip Sabian was done being an ass and thinking that he could do it on his own. Or whatever.
Kip Sabian do like the I did it thing.
Oh. You
know, he's the best man, but I got the win. But Miro's just like, whatever, and just puts up with him.
Yeah.
You know, you'll be friendly. He's like, yeah, you always have your asshole friend, but he's still your friend. And then the other one that really bothered me was Evil Uno and Adam Page.
Oh.
That went two commercial breaks. Are you fucking kidding? Evil Uno, in tag matches, he's always been fine. But he's not wrestling a tag match. Like, I couldn't believe how long that went. And I know there's outside interference and all that stuff, whatever. But I'm like, come on, guys, what are we doing? That's a one-segment match. And no one's going to blink an eye if Evil Uno loses in 10 minutes.
Since all Evil Uno does is lose anyway, even when he's in a tag team match.
Yeah, yeah, and then he's basically Brody's bitch, too.
Oh. Yeah.
But no, and then the one that really got me, and one I tried to think, is it because I'm a huge fan or not? It happened a few weeks ago. Brody Lee destroys Cody in 3 minutes, which Jim Ross reiterates every single time.
Oh.
He has a 15-minute match with Dustin Reynolds, or Dustin Rhodes now, sorry, got used to that, with Dustin Rhodes. And then a much smaller guy in Orange Cassidy, he has another 15-minute match. It's like, wait a second. And he's using outside interference to beat these guys. You already established he's a monster. You've already done that. So it's okay. Like, if the monster rolls your guys, it's okay. Because that's what monsters do. I mean, imagine, like, did Kane and Val Venus ever have a one-on-one match that was, you know, that was close?
Well,
no, it should have never happened that way.
Well, it's just easy. Here's an easy solution. Don't have Orange Cassidy fight Brody Lee.
That was another thing I wanted to bring up. Orange Cassidy special occasions, and I was wrestling every show. I'm like, no. That's what made him cool. It was the build-up to see him wrestle.
Well,
the cat's out of the bag, but...
Well, yeah, and then he goes from Chris Jericho... Well, I guess going for a belt would make sense after beating Chris Jericho, but it's just kind of... It's a bad timing issue, because you don't want Brody Lee to drop it this quickly. Like, you guys... Because they've already created a problem for themselves where, you know, their big guys have not delivered in their first big match. You know, whether it's the Murder Hawk or Brody Lee. And they're doing the right thing with Brody Lee and helping to rehab him. But... it's just like, why have Orange Cassidy go after him? Like, and I know that they don't have, AEW doesn't have enough of a depth chart like you're talking about to have some logical move, but I think, were Chris and I talking about, I think last week, have him move on to MJF would make more sense to kind of determine a number one contender type of situation. Instead of, you know, like, because that gives Moxley some more time to kind of breathe. And you can then put opponents, like, especially if this is a... Because that's the other weird thing about this week's one, is that it kind of seems like there is no reason for Orange Cassidy to get a rematch out of that. Like, I know that they didn't exactly play by the rules, but they didn't exactly... like, completely screw over Orange Cassidy either, though.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he really got clobbered by a clothesline of his own accord, basically. Like, after the shenanigans. So, you know, like, it was still a fairly definitive win, which I guess... It bothered me more from an Orange Cassidy perspective than a Brody Lee perspective, yes. I guess.
Well, I think with Brody, well, I guess, like, Brody, they established he was the monster, which is why I thought it was weird. But then you bring up the Orange Cassidy part, I was like, yeah, that didn't really work out for him either.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, I wonder if part of this just has to do, like, you know, the COVID stuff going on. Maybe their roster's a little depleted, but I'm like, why not have, I don't know, Kazarian go for it? Or Daniels. They already did that stuff with them, didn't they? Just trying to think of somebody else. Just someone else, like...
That has...
Sounds dumb, but...
Has a little indie cachet or something.
You know, maybe people aren't showing up because of COVID. Or maybe they can't get enough people, you know? Like, why not Billy Gunn? And I know that sounds dumb.
Oh.
But it's like, okay, here's a big guy to go against a big guy. Unless Billy Gunn's too big. And like, no. We gotta make sure Brody Lee looks good.
I would think that they might have... and I'm not gonna bother looking up their roster, honestly. But they... And now I am.
Okay.
But, yeah, I don't know. I guess I can't think of anyone offhand who they'd be able to do.
You're right. It's like, okay, because, I mean, there's no, like, they were talking about their ranking system and all this. That thing doesn't mean anything, which is fine. I mean, it's whatever.
Yeah.
But I just, there's so much potential for good. And,
no.
All right, well, by the way, I complained about that. The matches were good. Like, the Moxley Eddie Kingston one took me a second for me to get behind. I was kind of like, really? Okay, because I've never been a huge Eddie Kingston fan. But
oh, yeah.
The match turned out pretty good. The beatdown after, and everything else up, so that was good. Trying to think what else there was. The Brody Lee segment, the Brody Lee promo after was awesome. He's like, where were we beat your brother, we beat your thirst trap of a wife posting those thirst trap pictures on Instagram, we beat her down. I was like, Jesus Christ. It was great.
Yeah, that was pretty hilarious.
Jericho MJF, two assholes trying to out asshole each other, was very good.
Oh, well, hold on. And now, how are you going to go past the part talking about a thirst trap and you're not going to talk about Cody Rhodes' reappearance in that segment?
No, I'll just listen to stuff that was good. Now, the soy sauce haircut that he was sporting, I think he's just been blonde so long. Did him coming out with that dark hair, what is he doing? He dyed his hair black so he doesn't have to dye his hair blonde anymore.
That's the problem, is that he doesn't really have black hair. Like
no one's got that.
It's not. It's more brown than it is black, and to me, that's part of the problem. Like, I'd call my hair black, and I would have called his brown.
Yeah, that, and then it had that weird red tint in the front, or some sort of tint, whatever it was.
Wow, and there is no one on the roster, by the way, unless they go with the Butcher.
Yeah, which I'm still confused why they're going with those outfits, but whatever. Why Eddie Kingston would mention Braxton Sutter's wife? It's not part of the storyline. So,
why the Butcher and the Blade are with them to start with is confounding. But
well, they're all friends.
Sure.
And they were friends from the beginning. Whatever else. So,
yep.
I kind of get that. No, honestly, I kind of get that. But at the same time, it's like, okay, so.
It's kind of like one of those ones where, to me, it's similar to the Riot Squad, where it's just like, they've always been friends. Okay, great, tell me how they've always been friends. They've always been friends.
Yeah, so didn't you hear me?
Just explain how they're friends. Like, show me that they're being friends together. Like, that's...
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, all as Eddie Kingston does is come out, and I mean, as much as I do like his... It seems like I'm okay with his promo work. I'm still a little sketchy on the in-ring stuff. You know, like him coming out and babbling about it doesn't help resolve that question of how those four are brother or those five are like brothers for life in wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, and they don't work together well enough to act like they're brothers for life. Like, they should have had an immediate coherence of some nature, and they like lost their first match and bickered after it. Like, they turned into Andrade and Angel Garza, like, right off the bat. Like, why am I supposed to think you're unified if you guys are already showing dissent with each other?
Yeah. Well, it's they always say they have a long plan. And the long-term plan seems to be, the Bucks and Omega. Because there's definitely a long-term plan there. I mean, this slow build and all this stuff. And, okay, but I don't see a slow build for anything else. Like, FTR, I get it. Although, like, they're really good, so it doesn't matter. Like, mold-wise, I'm confused why they need a Tully Blanchard then. And I know the Four Horsemen had James J. Dillon, and then all the Four Horsemen could talk, except for, like, Barry Windham. Barry could talk a lot, and I think he got credit for. But
yeah, he wasn't a great. He definitely wasn't as good as anyone else in the Four Horsemen. Like, he was below them, but yeah, he wasn't a terrible promo either.
Right. Yeah, especially when he turned on Dusty Rhodes. The most shocking heel turn I've ever seen, by the way. did you remember that?
No, I don't. Because I don't. When would that have been, I guess? Because it was a pretty short time period that I watched WCW, because it was right after we got cable, and then I also stopped watching wrestling shortly after that time period, too.
Oh, okay. I don't remember
the year. Which would have been very late 80s into the very early 90s.
Okay. But man, they had this fucking near blood feud with the Four Horsemen. And they finally, like, Barry Windham and Lex Luger finally win the tag team titles. And then all of a sudden, during the match, Luger comes over to tag, Windham drops down, and goes, nah, and just leaves him to die. I was like, wait, what the hell's going on? It was absolutely shocking to me. Dusty Rhodes comes out, I was like, wait, you joined the Four Horsemen? Like, what are you doing? Well, listen, as a kid, you're like, why? Like, what the hell just happened? It was so good, dude. Man, I really want to find that on the fucking network now. I haven't seen that in years. But it's like Dusty Rhodes, like, what'd you do this for? And he's like, wouldn't listen to him, just wouldn't talk to him, nothing. It was so good. And he just cut a promo, basically like, Dusty motherfucker, all this stuff. Oh, it was great. Anyways. But yeah, so, anyways. But no, it's like, AEW has this long-term plan, so they say. It's like, all right, cool. But
yeah, like I said, at least with them, I do kind of feel like things are moving in a more positive storyline direction, because it does seem like they, so yeah, but I think that unfortunately their long term still hasn't really hooked me that much.
No.
You know, because even that stuff with the Bucks and Omega and Adam Page, I'm like, I don't understand why I should give a shit about this. Or why
I
should...
It's so funny, you keep saying Adam Page. Name. You're absolutely right, right?
Oh.
And I just keep going, who the hell are you talking about? Oh, hang on. All right. But so you're not wrong.
Yeah, it is kind of funny. They do omit his first name quite frequently and just call him... Either they just go straight Hangman without the Page, or it's Hangman Page. Like, there are not a whole lot of Adam Page references.
Yeah, weird. But... So, yeah, but no, I like that. I like how they've turned the Dark Order around.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you watch Being the Elite. They're funny on Being the Elite, but then I like that the group's together. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, well, yeah, for as large as it is, I like, they've kind of kept it somewhat finite, I guess, as a group. And that, at least, definitely has a pecking order to it.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Very clearly, and
yeah,
I don't know. I just enjoy it that way. Like, it's Brody Lee, Grim. Or it's funny. I'm being elite. It's Brody Lee, Anna Jade, Grims, or Stu Grimson. All right, Evil Uno.
Yeah,
and then everybody else, and John Silver's last. So that will always get a laugh out of me. I don't care. So.
Yeah, that is fair enough. They do have a good pecking order. So yeah, they've turned that around. And like I said, I guess I do think, at least with FTR, they've kind of started to straighten out the tag team division. And I mean, they could have done it with or without Omega and Page as a tag team. Like, I guess it's just kind of dependent upon what way they want to tell the story. And I'm trying to think. Well, yeah, I mean, you definitely have Best Friends, which it still was a little shocking to me that they went over, but also nice that somebody won a grudge match since the WWE hates letting the babyface win a grudge match. So I guess it was good that the Best Friends won that. But yeah, things seem to be shaking out a little bit better for their tag team division that was a mess. And I'm trying to think.
That's why what I don't like, though, is they do that hodgepodge, like tag team stuff. And so you guys have enough established tag teams. There's no reason to be doing hodgepodge stuff.
Oh. Yeah, they're Jericho and Swagger is a tag team, and I know that they didn't have a match this week, but it's not necessary.
It gives Jericho and Hager something to do, so I don't mind. Because it's like, well, Jericho's not going to be fighting for the TNT title. Oh. Like, what's Hager doing? You know? So, it's, I don't know if it's just to preoccupy him, whatever. But
yeah,
it gives him something different to do, so I don't mind it so much. And then also, it can be like, maybe it'll be the catalyst for a split up, and then, you know, Hager and Jericho feud something. I don't know. So,
it's a possibility.
Instead of having Jake Hager on your roster not doing anything, I guess. So.
Well, they've had him not doing anything for most of his roster run so far, so I don't know why that needs to change right now.
That was weird to me because I thought that he wasn't allowed to wrestle because of his MMA commitments. And that sure shit doesn't seem to be the truth. Like, I don't even know when his next fight's supposed to be.
Oh.
Unless he got canceled. I mean, unless the any COVID restrictions canceled it. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, so. Well, I mean, you would think that since the UFC's kind of figured it out already that they would, you know, whatever. I'm trying to remember what the name of the league is that he's in, and I can't. But they, I would have thought they would have, yeah, Bellator. I would have thought they would have figured something out by now, even if it's a residency at some arena, you know, in where the fuck ever. So, that is a little bit surprising.
Yeah.
Well.
AEW, I like because the characters are engaging.
Oh.
Like next week, you want to hear what Cody has to say. I mean, he gets challenged to a strap match. All right, we'll get his comments next week. Like, stuff happens, and there is generally a payoff the next week. Not a huge one in most cases, but there is. And they give their guys time to shine. Because I remember a long time ago, I complained, like, who are these guys? And now they're starting to talk. You're starting to get a little bit of, like sometimes vague, but sometimes a pretty good idea who everybody is.
So oh, yeah.
They've improved in leaps and bounds. And then, I don't know how long we're going, but we mentioned NXT at least. NXT's gotten a lot better with this. Because for the longest time, most of those guys, I had no clue what they were about. And now you kind of do.
Well, it was kind of funny. I think last week Chris and I were talking about how odd their roster feels without Keith Lee and Karrion Kross on it because there's a little bit of a power vacuum at the top. But this week kind of set a lot of things in motion that I'm very interested in. Definitely Kyle O'Reilly entering in a big way into the singles division. Is that's pretty awesome. Like, I'm cool with Kyle O'Reilly as a singles wrestler. Like, I kind of forgot that he had a long run as a singles wrestler in ROH that I enjoyed. So I'm pro him getting a chance at the title, and hopefully he stays as a singles wrestler moving forward. Like, because that's just. They needed to find something to freshen up Undisputed Era, and that's definitely one way to do it.
Yeah. It is still weird to me, though, that whenever I see Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish as a tag team, though.
Oh.
Wait, what? But then Bobby Fish wasn't on this week.
Oh yeah,
it's so
just
weird.
the singles matchup for Roddy, wasn't it?
No, it was him and Danny Burch, which I
Oh.
actually, okay, liked the comedy of it, but I thought that his explanation was fine. Fandango's, he's like, it's getting stale, let's mix it up. So we're going to take a guy from each team, put them together. They're going to wrestle, and then the next week they're going to wrestle to determine who's going to win. And Regal goes, huh?
Oh.
And I'm like, that seemed pretty straightforward to me, actually.
Yeah, it was pretty
But,
straightforward, honestly.
yeah. I was like, okay, but I got the laugh out of it anyway, so I was fine with it. So, anything with William Regal doing something funny, I'm always going to be fine with. So, and then Danny Burch showing some personality finally. Oh, well, he's going to blah, 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 blah. Huh. Why didn't you just say so? Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty nice. Because
Now,
Dan,
I will
Dan.
say. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Like, I guess I feel like I know a little bit about Oney Lorcan, at least. Danny Burch is still a little bit of a
Yes.
blank slate.
Yes. Because it's, I mean, character-wise, he has been. So it's like, who's Danny Burch? I don't know. He's the older bald guy instead of the younger bald guy. Oh, okay. So, well, Orny's been doing his thing on 205 Live too. So I don't know if like
Oh.
they're somewhat done or whatever they're doing. But no, I like that stipulation. I thought it made like it. It's funny because it was right. It did freshen things up a little bit. I love the fact Danny Burch wanted to shake hand, and Roderick held out the fist bump, and he just goes, "No, forget it." Like, he's like, "I'm doing this, but I don't really want to do it, so screw you." And then they win. They goes to the shake the hands, like, "Nope," and just ghost him. Like, there's little stuff like that, and
Yeah. Yeah, that was
it's I
enjoyable.
don't know, just enjoyed the episode a lot. Finn coming out of the end was pretty cool because he's not on all the time. Oh, who do you think the mystery guy coming back is? Super NXT champion that's coming back?
Was trying to figure out if the tap out poster there was of any significance, or it just happened to be in the filming, because it looked like they were just in a training center, right?
Yes. Well, it's a
And
PC,
what?
so
Oh, it was definitely the PC.
that's what I took from it, yes.
Oh, okay. Then maybe the tap out thing doesn't really mean anything, but I did kind of read that A, it's supposed to be a former champion, which really kind of limits the pool. And I wasn't really surprised when I saw a Bo Dallas name pop up is a possibility.
Ew. Oh, that's not what I heard.
I'm trying to remember what the second name was, and I'm blanking currently, so maybe that's the name that
The
you
second
have.
one's way more satisfying, that's for sure.
Well, which
It's not a
name?
huge name. Robert Roode.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
It
that
made
was the other
sense.
one.
Because his color scheme was all was it was kind of his color scheme because of the money aspect.
Yeah.
Remember, he's supposed to be like a Rick Flair type. And then the tap out shirt is from him being in tap out commercials. He was in the tap out gear commercials.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. If you say so.
So that's why. So, yeah, that's a welcome place. He needs to be there because his entire run on the main roster was trash. When it's so bad that Andy Orton, the guy like who seemingly like supposed to be this big asshole, right? And burying new talent, this and whatever else. Even he goes, yeah, he should have gone over in this feud. I don't know what happened. He did something wrong.
Yeah, he pissed in the
But
wrong person's Wheaties. I don't know who's.
listen, Bobby Roode, whatever they're calling him, Robert Roode, he's never been the most dynamic in the ring, but
Oh.
even give him a chance.
Well, I mean, if you're okay with Randy Orton in the ring, there's no reason you should be that you should have a problem with Robert Roode, because to me, they maybe not the style's the same, but the pacing to me of their matches is somewhat, you know, it's that slower, more deliberate style of match.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
So
I guarantee part of it was the music. Everyone said, "Oh, he's just his music." I guarantee you that's part of it. But he's not really doing anything. People just like, was they like cheering with his music? It's like, no, but whatever. So
yeah, and well, one way or the other, that it's not like that guy has a poop ton of time left. So, and it does seem like it took NXT a little while to get Fandango and Tyler Breeze back on track, but yeah, they should very easily be able to do that for Robert Roode should he be the guy that is in those videos.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and it's like Bo Dallas, like, is, all right, it sounds dickish, but I forgot about Bo Dallas, and then on top of that, is anyone clamoring for Bo Dallas to come back? Like, okay. Now, if he's his, like, inspirational Bo Dallas one, I'm all for it, because that made for some high shit. Like, that was some high comedy when he was just being, like, a narcissistic dick to everybody. That yeah, stuff was great. So, but it's like, NXT still has a logjam of talent that even though, like, people are hurt or out, they still got a lot of people.
Oh. You know. Yeah. Agreed. There's still a lot of people, but yeah, I guess I'm not surprised. Like, I'm glad that they've turned NXT a little bit into a little bit of a rehab for some of the WWE stars. I'm not sure that it's for everyone necessarily, but I do think that Breezango fits the mold pretty well. And whether it's Robert Roode or Bo Dallas, I think they kind of fit the mold pretty well where, yeah, they kind of need people in that main event area too. Well, and I guess that's the other thing. Like, if they have a former champ, like, they need someone, even if they end up losing the championship matches, they need someone to throw in there against the likes of Gargano and Adam Cole, who have kind of been there and really exhausted their opponent pool in NXT.
Oh, for sure. So that to me is going to be the most interesting part of this, is what they're going to do with Finn. And I was wondering, like, why is Kyle O'Reilly his opponent, you know? Like, wait, how weird.
It
occurred to me.
Yeah.
But then it occurred to me, like, there's no fans. They don't have to worry about selling tickets. So why not take a chance? Because, like, look at these matchups. They're kind of weird. Like, going into TakeOver, they're kind of weird matchups.
Oh.
Damian Priest and Johnny Gargano.
Yeah.
And Kyle O'Reilly, if that's what happens. Because I heard it was supposed to be Cam Grimes.
Well, and Grimes at least would have made a little more sense. Like, he could have absorbed I'm sure that O'Reilly can absorb the loss fine, because it's going to be his first big match, and they'll probably make some, oh, he's used to being in tag teams types of excuses.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Grimes has already kind of had a couple of high profile-ish losses, so it would have made sense to put him in another spot to lose. And didn't he have a little bit of a running feud with Balor, or some unfinished business with him to take care of?
He had beaten Balor once, and that's why he wouldn't stop talking about it.
Oh, okay.
Because Damian Priest cost him the match. So, yeah, I don't know. I also like Cameron Grimes. I don't know. It's weird. I wasn't a huge fan of him as Trevor Lee. But it just honestly seems like they've gotten something out of him with him being Cameron Grimes. I don't know.
He has a personality. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I couldn't tell you what he was as Trevor Lee other than that he was Trevor Lee. Like, I guess I enjoyed some of his matches, but it's just like he was a, you know, a dead fish, basically, like personality wise. And
that's also what during TNA too. So,
you know, he kind of has this fun, you know, backwoods Southerner gimmick going on, and it really works for him.
Oh yeah, for sure. And well, like a sophisticated backwoods Southerner, because he's got a top hat on, man. So, you know,
this is
that,
true.
That's what always kills me. Even Beth Phoenix said something about it last night. She was like making fun of his hat or something, and I thought that was pretty funny. He's always got that hat on, or whatever else.
Yeah. Oh,
and
man.
And she even cracked herself up when she said it, too, which I always appreciate. If you can accidentally make yourself laugh, I always think that's very funny. So.
What did you say? Was it about the announcers, or was it something else? Like, I didn't...
Wait, Barrett, go.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned Wade Barrett, and then I'm sitting there going, why the fuck is Tom Phillips on here? Where'd Vic go? Did they get booted back to NXT UK?
Something's going on with the announcers, I think, because Michael Cole said something on one of the episodes. He's like, you know, I'm happy to be here considering the circumstances. And I went, what's going on?
But
they never said what they were.
Because Tom Phillips had circumstances, but then Tom Phillips is on NXT this week with Beth Phoenix, Beth Phoenix this week.
Well, no, Wade Barrett was on in the beginning. You know what? No, he wasn't. Never mind. Yes, you're right. That was me going, oh, I'm watching the right week of NXT. Damn it, no, I'm not.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you watch them back to back.
Okay, that's what happened. Because I was seriously like, where the hell did Wade Barrett go? He's just dead silent.
It's because the announce team was completely different from what it normally was, at least as of the last couple of months.
Well, I got nothing against Vic Joseph, but I didn't even realize he wasn't calling the action. Whoops. Alright, well. Yep. So. Wow. Yeah, alright. Makes a lot more sense now, man. So.
Yep.
But no, I enjoyed NXT. Oh, real quick, and we gotta go. We have to mention what a great douchebag Johnny Gargano is. The fact he's just complaining about the TV getting broken, and now we got to, I think it was last week when we did that one, and now we got to watch Damian Priest and blah, 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 and then she goes, well, you can just order another TV. Oh, I already did. And I got like the top of the line. He's like, blah, 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 it was 3D, and I went, douchebag. They don't do those anymore because they sucked. I just thought that was really fun. Just like an encapsulation of what a fucking douchebag he is. It's great.
Yeah, well, and he really locked in the douchebaggery with the, you know, the kick as Damian Priest was celebrating. Yes. The people, I'm like, and that's another one where, like, that's the only thing that Gargano, I think that Gargano had some early problems with the heel bit. But A, I knew that he could deliver, and B, I think he's finally, like, they've really started to lean into him being a heel now. And he's doing some really douchey things to, make it that way. And that's...
The other one that cracked me up was, Io Shirai was doing her thing, and... She's going back and forth between Japanese and English. And then Io says something to him. He's like, how dare you? He goes, I don't understand what you said, but I know you didn't say something good. I knew you said something insulting. And it was just so funny.
Like, It was something like that. I did get a good chuckle out of that.
And him like pushing his way onto Io Shirai, like trying to badass her and all that stuff. It was like that's what douches do. It was so good. And the weirdest thing about that though, Johnny Gargano's a heel, and so is Tommaso Ciampa. We haven't gotten that. And like I know that there's no way they're gonna go through with that feud. We've never gotten where they were both heels.
Oh, yeah, we don't need that.
Oh, no. We don't need another. Yeah. We don't need another feud between the two. No, you're right.
Yeah.
But it's still just like, man, that would have been kind of fun. So
it would have brought a different dynamic to the table that was never really brought to the table.
Yeah, exactly.
So I will agree on that point.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Well, this has been a plenty long show. Bell Time Beer for the evening. Ill-Mannered Brewing, a participation trophy, New England style IPA. This is a solid one. There are some of their efforts that I do like more than this one in particular, but it still went down quite quickly during this nice hour and a half show here on At Stunt Cranny.
Well, like usual, we start talking about something else. Hey, real quick, do you get Hazy? I'm sorry. Do you get Sugar Creek Brewing in Ohio? It's from Charlotte.
Not that I know of, but I also don't really look at stores for beer. I'm still I am somewhat partial to the as some people have deemed it, the 7-pack. Go out to a brewery, drink one beer there, and then take a 6-pack home. I am an advocate for that. I've just been buying stuff from the local places. I have gotten some travel beers from Colorado and the few trips that I've made, but most of those have been in state. So,
okay. Last one. You're not into the hazy IPAs at all, are you? Or are you?
That was just a hazy IPA.
What was it?
Yeah.
All right. I told you. It's been a stressful week.
Yeah. Now I'll drink. No, like it's one of those ones that I will drink anything. Like it really does not bother me. The only thing that's been kind of funny is that I don't drink dark beers as much as I used to, because the wife likes to drink dark beers. So I've actually laid off those a little bit more than I probably normally would. But there isn't anything that I won't drink. From sours to as pungent as they come in the IPA department.
I'll have to send you one from Bird Creek then. They're Hazy Creek. It's quite possibly my favorite hazy beer I've had. So
yeah.
I think they've done that off.
I do like those just because they're more you taste the tropicalness of more of the hops rather than the bitter component, and I'm for that all the time.
All right.
Okay, cool. At DeFrango11, right. At Granny Maze, everyone, we're out of here because it's a long show. Have a good night.
Peace out.